Good evening. It's good to see you all this evening. It's I want to once again welcome those who are visiting for being with us tonight. I am not one of the regular preachers. I am the preacher tonight. I'm not one of the regular preachers. So this may be a little bit different. Hopefully it'll come together. I will say that preparing and standing before you is a great reminder of how good of a job the regular preachers do. And so thank you to each one of them. And thank you to their families as well. It's an honor to be before you. We're going to spend most of our time tonight in Proverbs chapter 3, looking at trust and obey. And in particular, specifically in making decisions. And not because I think I've got it all figured out, I'm making good decisions, but Scripture offers us wisdom in this area, and so hopefully it'll be helpful to look at. Maybe it should be complete joy and complete trust and obedience. I was reading something a while back that C.S. Lewis wrote, and it sort of got me on the track about what I want to talk about for a few minutes, and I won't read the entire section, but maybe just paraphrase a little bit. But he started out by saying, it's always shocking to meet life when we thought we were alone. It's always shocking to meet life when we thought we were alone. And maybe you've experienced this. I thought about, there was one day I was mowing the lawn and I was going along and I went past a tree and all of a sudden I glanced over and that snake right there was about less than a foot from me right at eye level. And you may be thinking now that you may be thinking, Keith, that's not even a poisonous snake. And you may be right. In fact, based on my research afterwards, I think it's not a poisonous snake. But that's not what I was thinking in that moment. I made a very quick decision to get away and to put a large amount of distance between myself and that snake. I was generally shocked to meet life when I basically thought I was alone. The writer, he was making a point. He was comparing that when we might draw back to coming face to face with a decision in our lives. When we come before the God of salvation, and how do we respond in that situation? He sort of went on, in kind of further developing the point, he made another comparison. He talked about kids playing a game and playing robbers. And there's a point when there's a noise down the hall and everybody gets quiet and everybody's thinking, was that a real footstep down the hall? I can remember something similar to this. I was 7 years old. There was a show called Bonanza on TV. I used to watch the reruns with my grandparents. And there was an actual place called that was like a replica of the set of this show. And it's called Ponderosa. And my grandparents lived pretty close to it. And they took me there once. We got there in the morning. There was all sorts of things to see and do. And we went into the general store and they bought me this gold nugget. I wish I still had it with me. I think it's at my parents' house somewhere. But they bought me this gold nugget. It was fool's gold, but to me it was a real gold nugget. So we left and we got on the wagons pretty soon after that. They were going to take us up to where the breakfast was. And we were kind of winding our way up the path. And then all of a sudden, some people came riding up from behind us on horses. And they forced our wagon train to stop. So this is when it sort of took a turn, because this was not a good situation. These men had black hats on, and so they were robbing us. And the wagon drivers, they had bags of money just with dollar signs on the back. So those were gone. That was easy. But then they went to each wagon and they asked if anybody had any gold. And this is when things really took a turn, because I had my gold nugget in my pocket and I didn't know what to do. So they got to me and I very carefully, I pulled out of my pocket and just dropped it down into my grandma's purse and then put my hands up. Nope, I got nothing. And it took me a long time after that to realize that nothing about that was actually real. Like, I probably could have pulled it out and they would have said, oh, that's too small. We're not even going to bother with that. But the point that the writer was making in drawing and meeting life when we thought we were alone and playing a game when things take a turn and become real is that when there's a decision that we come face to face with the God of salvation, with the true and living God of salvation, that there's a real response that's required. And we do see in Scripture that some turned away. In John chapter 6, I think later in the chapter, it says many turned away and didn't follow after Jesus. And that's a sad thing to see. But how do we respond in that situation? We can think about the initial decision to submit our lives to God, or we can think about it in a longer process over time when we are maturing and hopefully growing closer to God and making good decisions. I want to look at maybe a slightly different angle. Those things would certainly be included, but just look at some wisdom and guidance in Scripture to help us make good decisions. Because we make a lot of decisions. There are those big life-altering decisions that we have, like jobs, careers, school-type decisions, where we'll live, who we'll marry. And we can feel the weight of those big life-altering decisions. There are the small, everyday-type decisions. Where we'll go, what we'll do, what we'll eat. Will we choose the red pews or the blue pews? You know, that one maybe has no impact. But sometimes those small decisions do have an impact, and they can make a big impact. Sometimes we undervalue those smaller day-to-day decisions. And I think in Proverbs chapter 3, well, before we get into that, I want to just briefly just go talk about two maybe opposite ends of decision-making. So on one hand, maybe there's the long, drawn-out process of looking at all the options, looking at the risks and the rewards, looking at every possible angle, and it's the far end. So it's like overanalyzing. It's almost an agonizing experience. And I'd have to say sometimes with big decisions, I've leaned more in that direction. But then on the other side, there's an impulse type decision where you don't have to worry about the analyzing it. There's not much thought into it at all. Actually, it's just. But if it's a bigger decision, it's sometimes maybe there's regrets later on and thinking, you know, what was I thinking? So really, neither of those would really be ideal in just on its own. So in Proverbs, we can look at it a different way. And I think many here would agree that we want to find out, we want to make the decision that God would want us to make. We want to know what God's will is for our life, and we want to make the best decision that's in accordance with God's will for our lives. And those are the types of things we pray about. We want to make that best decision. From a very early age, we make decisions for our kids. When they're really young, we make decisions for them. And then we might make decisions and say, this is the decision that you should make, and we can explain why. And then at a certain point, we start making our own decisions. Hopefully there's a process of growing and maturing and gaining knowledge and wisdom and gaining the strength of character to make good decisions that are in line with God's will. And there are many wise people around me that are wiser than I am, have more experience. And Proverbs says in chapter 13, verse 20, says, walk with the wise and become wise. So in Proverbs chapter 3, we have some really good advice from Solomon. When Solomon realized that he would be making decisions for a nation, that he'd be making decisions that affect himself, his family, and many others for generations as king, he prayed to God. And he asked for wisdom to discern between good and evil, between right and wrong. And I think in Proverbs, we have a template that basically teaches us how to make good decisions. So in Proverbs chapter 3, Jeremy read this as part of his lesson this morning. Starting in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I think some say he'll make your paths straight or make straight your paths. So there's a promise there that if we trust in God, if we trust in his plan for our lives, and we acknowledge him, and we submit to him, or we obey him, that he will direct our paths. I think about the song. Well, it's from Psalm 119, but thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And it's a powerful thought to think about God's word lighting the way, giving us clarity, and allowing us to see forward, directing our path in life. And this is entirely Jesus is at the very center of this. Colossians in chapter 1, it says that all things have been created through him and for him, and in him all things hold together. Through Jesus, all things are reconciled to God by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And so, trusting in his plan and obeying his commands for everyone. I think the more that we know that, the more that we obey that, the more that we appreciate that, then the clearer it becomes for us in our decisions. Understanding what God is doing and being in alignment with it and not against. I'd like to look at maybe each verse now in a little bit more. It's verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trusting in his perfect will. Sometimes we hear God's sovereign will. God's sovereign will. And he is sovereign. He's the ultimate source of all power, all authority, and he's over everything that exists. And we can go against God's sovereign will. We can kick against the goats. Paul, when he was recounting his story in Acts 26, he said, Jesus said to him, it is hard for you to kick against the goats. And we can go against God's will, but we think about it in the big picture sense. Us going against God's will doesn't change the fact that his sovereign will is being accomplished. It's moving forward. His will is being accomplished throughout that. I think ultimately toward Revelation 21 and 22, and all things are made new. So trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts. Think about this verse. What I take it to mean is that we can see God's perfect will is good. We can read from Genesis to Revelation. We can see that it's good. And I want to be a full participant in that. But there are times when it's hard to see how God is going to get things to that end. But I trust in his plan. I trust in his promises. And I trust in that all things work together for good for all those who love him. And so I can do the easy choice and just get by, or I can make maybe the harder choice and that's in accordance with what Jesus said and that's in line with the direction that God is leading all things. I can make that choice. And so I'll trust in God and not in my own plan. And we're told that it's not doing God's will is not going to always be the easiest. It's not going to be the most profitable. It may not be the most comfortable path. But it goes along with verse 6. That in all things, in all ways, acknowledge or submit or obey him, and that he will direct our paths. We submit to his will, to his moral standard. We may ask God to show us the way, but God says, no, I want you to find that out by, in all your ways, submitting to my will and obeying what I've said. There are a lot of situations that we have what God has said. We know what he has said. Should I lie to my parents? Should I lie to my spouse? Should I steal from my employer? Should I live in bitterness or an anger and resentment toward this other person. We may ask God to help us in certain areas, but we don't have to go to God and ask for him to reveal to us if it's right to lie or to cheat or to live in anger and resentment or to not forgive. No, we have his word and we have the standard. It's not a subjective thing. But we have what God has said, and we should obey what he has said. And I just put a couple of examples of where we have what God has said. In Ephesians, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. In 1 Thessalonians 4, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. So I think these two pieces, trusting in God when I don't know, and obeying and submitting to his will, that's the challenge for us. That's the goal for us. And I'd say that at this point, that's the challenge for me. That's why I wanted to study this. I read something in studying that I thought was on the right track, that we receive that light to direct our paths in proportion to our submission to trusting and obeying his sovereign will. That the more that we submit, the more that we trust and obey, the more we receive that clarity and that understanding and that lamp for our feet, showing us the way. And that is a solid foundation for our lives and for our decisions. I think about the words of Joshua. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we want that for our faith. We want a faith that's built on Jesus. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. And in that context, talking about Jews and Gentiles being reconciled through Christ. And in verse 22, being built together. And for all of us to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And that, the foundation for our lives, that built on Jesus. Jesus as the chief cornerstone. So that when we have decisions to make, when things aren't as clear for us, or in matters that aren't directly talked about in Scripture, we have that solid foundation that we can go forward in confidence. We can trust in the Lord with all of our heart, not lean on our own understanding, and in all our ways acknowledge him. I think it goes exactly with what Jesus said in John chapter 14 when he said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And that, I think, is the lesson for us to draw close to God, to draw near to God, to be aligned to his purpose and to his will, and to be obedient to his commands, to trust and obey, and he'll come and make a home with us. I think there's sort of a turning point, because in doing this, Proverbs 5 and 6, the outcome for us is that it changes us. It changes us into the kind of people that can consistently make God-honoring decisions. Trusting in him and submitting to his will changes who we are. It transforms us into the kind of people that can consistently make decisions that are right in line with his will for us. And because his word is what is lighting the way. Sort of a conclusion. I heard this a while back and it stuck with me. That the greatest obstacle about knowing God's will for your life is your will for your life. And that kind of hurts, because it's personal. That the biggest thing that's going to get in the way of knowing God's will for my life in any decision or situation is my own will in that decision or situation. the way that I want it to be when Jesus is saying, not my will, but your will be done. We see it throughout Scripture that there are some that trusted in God. There are some that went against God's will. And I chose three examples of people that trusted in God's will. Jonathan in 1 Samuel 14, he made a decision. The setting was that the Philistines had invaded and King Saul had at this point lost his way. And when King Saul was anointed, he was supposed to protect. He was supposed to protect them from the enemies around them. And in verse 2 of 1 Samuel 14, it says that he was sitting under a pomegranate tree. And Jonathan had that solid foundation. He knew that that's not the way that it was supposed to be. And in 1 Samuel 14, verse 6, it says, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let us go over to the outposts of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Nehemiah, Conrad had a very good lesson a few weeks about Nehemiah in the face of adversity, about responding and making decisions. And when Nehemiah learned that the walls had been burned down, that the gates had been burned down, and he recognized that that's not the way that it should be based on what God had said, and that someone had to do something about it. He says that, he said, God put it in my heart. He trusted in God, and he made bold decisions to go and lead the rebuilding effort. And the path wasn't an easy path. Mary, in Luke chapter 1, an angel came to Mary, told her what was going to happen. It says that she was greatly troubled. She was afraid. She said, how will this be? And the angel explained how what was going to happen. And then she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. And Jesus himself, praying in the garden, he was praying that it wasn't his will to be beaten, to be crucified on a cross. But he was setting his will aside because his ultimate desire was to do his Father's will. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, speaking about Jesus, Hebrews 5 and verse 9, it says, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. I hope it's been helpful to consider these things. I think we all face decisions where there's uncertainty on which direction to go. And I think that in order to see what God's will for us in the future is, we have to be living according to what he's revealed to us in Scripture. So spending time in his word, thinking about it, seeking out wise counsel. And I know that I have plenty of room, plenty of opportunity to do better. So hopefully it's been helpful to consider. We've been listening to a song at our house about not wanting to miss out on the chance to see Jesus and the chance to hear what he has to say. And it's written from the perspective of Zacchaeus. And part of it says, I don't want to miss this. No, I don't want to miss a thing. So I climbed up in a sycamore tree because I don't want to miss a single thing. And if you're here tonight, if you trust in God, if you're ready to submit to his will, to be buried with him in baptism and raised through faith, or if there's anything that we can do, we ask that you would come now as we stand and sing.